Living for Your Soul radio show. This is your host, and I truly hope that today we will be exploring some information together that will make your voices and your souls sing. I say that because I really mean it. Singing for Your Soul is my voice coaching business, where it's all about learning to use our voices well for singing and for speaking. But the phrase is also one of my personal guiding lights in my life. It's about asking myself, what makes my soul sing? And then finding as many ways as I can to move towards that. Finding ways that really make me feel amazing and connected and basically like my soul is expressing itself, which to me means that my soul is singing. So it's a phrase that I often use with myself, and I also use it in work with clients. We often ask, you know, well, what could make your soul sing more? What really lights you up? What do you want to be moving towards in your life? And that's for singing, for speaking, and also in your life. Moving towards what brings us more joy. So today is the second Singing for Your Soul radio show ever, and we're still getting to know one another. I know that I do have clients out there who are listening who already know me, and then there are also new people who are just tuning in for the first time. And I want to say, first of all, hello to all of you, and I'm really looking at this in two ways. I'm looking at this as an opportunity to introduce new people to the amazing power of our voices and of music, of sound, and of how we can integrate them into our lives to really enhance all areas of our lives. And then I'm also wanting to use this to be able to go deeper with my current clients. Because often in sessions, even if we've been working together for a while, and I do have clients that I've worked with for years, there's more focus on singing or speaking and the mechanics of that during our sessions often. And while we might do plenty of philosophizing and talking about the mental and spiritual aspects of our lives and singing and speaking, we don't always have time to delve as deeply as we'd like. So I'm looking at the show as an opportunity to really do that. And I really want to create a solid foundation for moving forward in the many different directions that we are going to go as the show really gets going, because there's so much about the voice to explore. So in future shows, just to give you a heads up, we'll definitely be going into some vocal technique, some tips and tricks for helping your voice feel better and project more easily and just work better for you. And we'll also cover things like performance anxiety and building confidence and letting our own light shine. And, you know, I'm going to be bringing on a variety of people. So I have clients, I have singers, musicians, experts, and healers, and we're going to be able to discuss a variety of vocal health and self-expression topics. But before we do that, today there's something that I want to address as basically the background or the backbone of vocal work in general. It's very important to me. It's very sacred, really. And this is the idea of approaching sound with reverence and with awe. Because as we move forward in this show, I would really love for this reverence and this awe to be woven into everything that we do. Because sound totally deserves reverence and respect. It's one of the most amazing things, and quite literally, at least to our current knowledge regarding science, it's actually the basis of all matter, of all creation, because all matter vibrates, and vibration is literally the who and what of what we are and what all of life is. So we're going to start there. We're going to get into that and discuss sound and sound healing today. Sound healing is a really hot topic in some branches of science these days. And here's the thing about that. I really believe that science and modern medicine are absolutely inspired, and they're gifts to humankind. They really are. And I also believe that whenever and however this planet was created, whatever you happen to believe about how this came into existence, the one thing that we can agree upon is that it's amazing. And that it was, I don't believe that it was left medicineless, left without medicine and healing for us. So we have plants, we have animals, we have minerals, and we have our own amazing bodies that can help us heal. And sound is an intricate part of that medicine also. So what I love is that sound has been used for healing and well-being since ancient times. And what's really cool is that those ancient teachings and practices are now being explored by our current science, so that we're really gaining a greater understanding of those timeless philosophies and practices and which ones really do work and why. So today during the show, I'd invite you, if you have the opportunity, to have a pen and paper handy. There are a few notes that you might want to jot down. I'll be talking about some specific things that you may want to go check out later. We won't be able to check out during the radio show. So if you have that opportunity, awesome. And if not, you can always listen back or check on Facebook, and I can put some of those up for you, some of those different videos and books that I will be referencing. So let's start delving into sound and sound healing. And the best place to start is with what sound really is. So sound makes invisible waves as it travels through the air, and it travels in waves. So it actually has a shape that it's carving in the air as it moves. And we measure that shape or that movement through the air in frequency of hertz. And we also measure light in hertz as well. And there are different speeds at which sound travels. So it's going to be carving different shapes in the air as it moves. Lower sounds are slower, so there's a wider wave to them. And then higher sounds move faster, so there's more wave happening as they move through the air. And we can look at things like the fact that there are a lot of sounds that are within the human range of hearing. And there are also sounds that are subsonic, so below the range of our normal hearing, and supersonic, which are above the range of our hearing. And the cool thing that I love thinking about is that we are always being surrounded by all sorts of sounds that not only can we hear, but that are below or above our perception. But they are still moving around in the air around us and affecting our physical bodies. So something very cool about subsonic sound is that they were studying elephants, and this was back when tapes, you know, remember 8-track tapes, not 8-track tapes, but the other tapes were being used, and they were taping elephants and studying their behavior and their language and how they communicate with each other. And one of the tapes was playing back really slowly. There was something wrong with the machine. But what they discovered is that there were sounds that the elephants were making that were below what we ever had any idea. We didn't know because we couldn't hear. So these scientists found, oh my gosh, they are communicating subsonically with each other. And supersonically, many people know that dolphins communicate with each other both on the human hearing spectrum, but also above it, supersonically. So those are just two examples within the animal kingdom of sounds that are going on in the world that we, not necessarily that everybody's around elephants or dolphins all the time, but if you were, there could be things going on that you would be unaware of, but it's still affecting your body. So everything is energy, and it's vibrating at different wavelengths. And really what this means is that anything that is moving, which as far as we know, all matter moves, that's a characteristic of it, that the molecules are vibrating, whether we can hear it or not. Anything that is moving within the right circumstances, which means that you have air particles or water to carry the sound waves, then you're going to have sound if anything's vibrating. So, for instance, the walls in our homes are vibrating. We just can't see them. They're vibrating slower than our perception allows us to see, kind of like subsonic sound. And actually, you could measure a frequency coming from those walls, so they have a vibration as well. And something cool is if you make a sound, if you make a really loud sound, have you ever heard a wall shake in response to sound? that is an example of sound having an impact on the physical environment. And we're going to talk a lot more about that today. But in outer space, we can't actually hear sounds because there aren't any air particles to carry the sound. Because as I mentioned before, sound requires a medium like air or water to carry the sound waves through it. Now, our voices work by our vocal cords vibrating together, and that vibration compresses the air around the vocal cords, and that compressed air moves around, creating sound. And then those sound waves travel until they reach somebody's eardrum, and then they bang on that eardrum, and our ears translate it into sound. Now, if you were in the vacuum of space, there aren't any air particles to carry that sound. But the cool thing is that there's still vibration going on. There's just not a medium to carry that vibration to our eardrums, to bang on the eardrums for us to perceive it as sound. And something that's really cool, I actually read that the astronauts on the Apollo moon missions reported hearing sounds in outer space, coming from outer space, and no one is actually sure what they heard, but they referred to it as hearing some sort of strange, get this, music. Some sort of strange music. And a popular hypothesis is that the solar wind was moving and something about the gravity of the moon was causing distortions in the electromagnetic particles of the solar wind, and that's what they were hearing. But the point of this story, other than the fact that it's really cool that it sounded like music to them, but they also said it kind of sounded like sawing, buzzing sounds. But the point is that they heard the sounds from inside the lunar lander where there was air to carry the sound. They didn't hear the sounds when they were outside of it. So on Earth, it's a totally different story. We are almost never without sound because there's always air, or sometimes you're underwater. There's always something, some medium to carry that sound. And even if you're in like an isolation chamber where sound is just completely being blocked out, you know you're probably going to hear the sounds of your own body, right? Like the blood pumping in your ears, your own heartbeat kind of thing. Now, something I always like to mention is that even deaf people, deaf, like D-E-A-F, I know that's a hard word to understand sometimes. So even people who don't have hearing are being affected and touched by sound and have a very refined awareness, more so than most of us who have our hearing and rely on it. They have an awareness of the vibrational world around them. And there are stories of percussionists who are deaf, but they learn to play by feeling the vibrations. So what's really cool is that the vibrations in our physical environments are always affecting our bodies. But it goes both ways because our bodies also have vibrations and they are always affecting our physical environments. So it's this sort of fish in water, fluid relationship where sound is always flowing to us and containing us, and we are always flowing sound outward and affecting our container. So it's this really constant give and take that's happening all the time sonically in our world. So certain sounds have an organizing principle. And certain sounds have a destructive effect. So a good example of this would be Baroque music. Now, Baroque music produces a very organized healing response in our minds and in our bodies. And there are actually studies that Baroque music helps put our minds into the alpha state. And that's really good for studying or for focused activities. And it's a state in which we feel very good and connected and also aware. And what's happening is that the sound of the music is interacting with our brain waves in a way that causes them to move at a certain rate, which is the rate of the alpha state. And there are also studies that show that in hospitals that play Baroque music, patients actually heal faster and feel better mentally and physically when they're hearing that Baroque music on a regular basis. So some sounds, on the other hand, have a disruption or destructive effect on us. So you can have what's called constructive interference, and then you've got destructive interference. Constructive interference is when sound interferes in a constructive way. So that Baroque music is an example, interacting with our brainwaves is an example of constructive interference. Now, destructive interference would be sirens are a great example, and they're very jarring and obviously have an immediate negative effect, like they cause us to jump when we hear them. But if we were to listen to them for an extended period of time, you could imagine the kind of negative effects that it would have on our bodies and minds if we heard them too much. So we don't even really need a scientific study to prove that. It's pretty obvious how sirens affect us negatively, and then Baroque music would be a positive effect. So sounds definitely affect our minds and our moods and even our overall well-being. But they're not just affecting our minds. Let's talk more about how they're actually affecting physical matter as well. So there's a great example, and here's where you would need a pen and paper if you want to write this down and check it out after the show. There's a great video on YouTube, and it's called Amazing Resonance Experiment. It's Amazing Resonance Experiment, and the video was put up by, this is going to be hard to understand, it's Bruss Pup. So that's B as in boy, R-U-S-S, P as in pop, U, P as in pop, Bruss Pup, just so you know that you're looking at the right video. And this is a resonance experiment in which they use sound, they connect sound via a cable to a metal plate, and then they put sand on top of this metal plate and play different tones to the plate. And what happens is those tones are causing the metal plate to vibrate, and there are little divots or grooves that are formed because there are certain areas in the plate where there is no vibration happening and certain areas where there's more vibration. And those areas without as much vibration are forming little divots or grooves. And the sand falls into those grooves and it creates these gorgeous patterns like sacred geometry or beautiful mandalas. They're very organized. They're very, very pleasing to the eye. Some of them are more beautiful than others. And, you know, I guess it depends on your personal taste. But what's happening with each of these different tones is that you're getting different shapes. And what the sand is doing is helping us to see what we couldn't see with our eyes without the help of the sand, which is that the plate is vibrating in these different shapes in response to the sound. So another example that I love to share is about how sound affects physical matter is the story of these instruments that I had in my voice studio in Los Angeles. So some of you may know that I had a voice studio in Los Angeles, and I've since moved to Michigan. And in that LA voice studio, it didn't happen intentionally this way. I just love how sometimes life just has these wonderful surprises for us. So what happened is that I ended up with a lot of different musical instruments in that studio, and they were in different parts of the room where we would sing. And I, for instance, had some drums, frame drums, hanging up on the wall. I had some Tibetan bowls in a corner, and I had harps, two different harps in a couple different corners of the room as well. And what would happen when students would come in and start to get their voices working really efficiently, and they were making really what I call, or what I would qualify as, really good and healthy sounds, what would start to happen is those instruments would vibrate in response to the sounds that were being made. So it would depend on the sound. It would depend on the frequency that they were singing at and how loud and all of those different things. But what would happen is, for instance, sometimes the Tibetan bowls would start ringing. And I would, whenever I noticed that that was happening, I would stop and say, okay, listen to that. You just literally created a sound that went out into the physical environment and it moved matter. That is the power of sound. It actually can shift our physical environments. And that is the crux of where sound healing really comes in. which we're going to get into in a minute. So sometimes the harp would vibrate, or sometimes the drums on the wall would shake and vibrate with the sounds we were making. That's just a great example of sound affecting our physical environments. Now, what's really cool about this is to bring in some quantum physics and the fact that what they're discovering is, if I can even use the word fact when you're talking about quantum physics, but they are discovering that particles, there are particles that exist as a possibility, which means that they're in a state of readiness to exist, but they only exist if they are observed by a conscious mind. So once we observe them, then they come into being. And what that's doing to scientists is making them go, oh my gosh, we're affecting the results of our experiments because we're observing them. So they've, you know, that's been an interesting thing. And the reason I bring this up is because the sounds that we make and the way that we're making them are really having a direct effect on our reality. They're affecting our minds, they're affecting our bodies, they're affecting the environment around us and the things that we perceive and attract into our reality. And there's a very important sound healing equation that needs to be woven in here, which I learned from Jonathan Goldman. That's Jonathan Gold, G-O-L-D, M-A-N, and he is a wonderful sound healing pioneer. He has lots of sound healing recordings, books, information, training programs, and he has a book out called Healing Sounds. And in this book, he talks about an equation, which is that sound plus intention equals healing. So I'll say that one more time. Sound plus intention equals healing. So what this means in terms of what we've talked about so far with the quantum physics and sound affecting our reality and particles only existing as a possibility until they're observed, what this really means is that when we create sound, we have the power to add intention to that sound, to basically encode that sound with our intention. And then it moves out into our physical environment, or in the case of making sound, which we're going to do as a meditation here in a little bit, you're actually affecting your physical body as well with the vibrations that you're making with your voice. And that can lead to healing. And this is scientifically verified. There are many studies and reports showing people being able to heal their bodies of various illnesses through the use of toning. And I have clients who've done it, and I feel that I've done it with myself as well. I've affected a lot of mental healing for myself and also physical healing. And I even had one student whose mother was going regularly to a yoga class where they would tone, and she was having some really severe problems with bleeding, and it went away. And she had been to multiple doctors. So that's just one example of how sound can affect us on a physical level. And to me, what that means, how I can weave that in with the quantum physics and the sound affecting our reality, is that quantum physics piece, that something doesn't exist until it's observed. So when we add the intention and send it out into the reality, and then the sound starts vibrating our bodies and our physical environments, we are literally having a physical impact on the world that we are experiencing. So there's another thing to bring in, which is that the alpha state that we induce when we tone. Now, let me back up for a minute. So toning is when you sing a note or a series of notes repeatedly in a meditative kind of way. So I'll just give you an example. If I were to go, that's toning. And what happens when we do that is we induce that alpha state that also Baroque music can induce. And we also, when we breathe more deeply, which we do during toning meditation, that also, that deeper breathing also contributes to an alpha state and is contributing to a lot of different factors in the body that are really healthy. One example is that when we sing, studies show that we actually produce oxytocin. Many people have heard of that. It's the cuddle hormone, and it has to do with bonding, and it's very healthy for us to produce that. And what people who sing together in groups notice, I've experienced it and I've watched other people experience it, is that when you sing together with people, you very quickly form a really wonderful bond. And it's hard to put words to what's going on there, but it does have a way of connecting people together. And that has a lot to do with oxytocin, science is uncovering. Another thing that happens when we sing is that melatonin is produced. Now, melatonin, most people know, helps with our sleep cycles. And something that's happening is our sleep cycles are getting really messed up with the blue lights in our computers and lights in general. And our bodies are having a hard time producing melatonin, and then we have a hard time sleeping. So singing actually helps us produce melatonin as well. And melatonin, interestingly, is being used in clinical trials right now as a potential antidepressant. So interesting, because singing definitely has antidepressant effects. Now, this would, of course, depend on the kind of singing you're doing. I actually am very interested in learning about more about heavy metal singing. It's not my favorite sound in the world, and I have a limit as to how much I can take of it. But I really am interested that there are very healthy ways that you can use your voice when you're doing that. In fact, there are teachers out there who are really teaching people how to do this so that they are doing it in a healthy way that doesn't cause like bleeding on your vocal cords. So this is something that is very interesting to me that I would like to learn more about. But when I'm speaking about using our voices, I'm really talking about using them in a way that is really soothing, more soothing and has those positive, constructive interference kinds of effects on our bodies and our minds. So our voices really have a lot of powerful effect on our reality, and there are really so many ways in which our voices are affecting, as I've said before, our bodies, other people around us, and the world around us. So going back to that fluid relationship of sound flowing to and from us, when we really learn to flow with that process, we learn to be more in tune with our sonic environments, and we learn to be more in tune with our bodies and the vibration that is occurring within our bodies, we're going to be really doing good things for ourselves. So we're going to get into a meditation, as I've mentioned in a little bit, that we'll use that. But first, I want to talk about sound healing and how it works in another way. And that has to do with what I spoke about with the Baroque music, with the resonance experiment with the sand and the metal plate and the tone creating geometric patterns with the sand. And then also the instruments in my voice studio that were vibrating sympathetically with the sound of people's voices. So what this phenomenon is called is entrainment. And it's where sound causes matter to vibrate or to shift its vibration to match or to sync with another sound. So we see entrainment happening with all of these instances. I need a little drink. I'm going to pause for a second and then I'll keep going. So with sound healing, I like to use the example of an orchestra. So when you have an orchestra, ideally everybody is tuned, everybody has their sheet music, and everybody has a good instrument and knows what they're doing. They know how to play their instrument, right? Those are all kind of prerequisites for a good orchestral thing to happen. Now, what can happen is that with our bodies, we can think of them as orchestras as well. And when everything is working really well, we have good health, right? All of our cells, we don't have too much inflammation or too much toxicity. We've got plenty of oxygen, plenty of minerals and vitamins and all of the things that we need to sustain our life, lots of water. So what can happen, though, is that our body can begin to vibrate out of tune, quite literally. So say my liver is having some problems and it's starting to, its frequency is going to be shifted from that of its ideal frequency of my own healthy liver. So with modern medicine, what often does tend to happen is that, say somebody has a problem with their gallbladder and then modern medicine comes along and says, well, you don't really need that, let's take it out. What sound healing would do instead is would say, well, we need to play certain frequencies to help entrain your liver or cause constructive interference to help your liver to vibrate back in a more healthy way. And then what starts to happen is those conditions can clear up. So they can actually heal broken bones faster with the right tones. Cancer has been shown to diminish or disappear completely when you can play the correct tones to it. Now, obviously, you have to have somebody who knows what they're doing to have that happen, but that is possible. And there are instances of people doing a lot of toning themselves and really healing a lot of different ailments. So we're going to take a brief break for announcements, and when we come back, we're going to do a sound meditation exercise that I've been talking about. So let's take that break.
Thank you, Kimberly. Kimberly teaches voice lessons worldwide online via Skype. She is also on faculty as the voice teacher at the Jackson Symphony Orchestra Music School in Jackson, Michigan, and teaches privately in Brooklyn, Michigan. She offers private voice lessons, voice classes, voice workshops for professionals, voice workshops for yoga teacher trainings, sound healing performances with voice, harp, Tibetan bowls, and frame drum. If you're interested in private lessons online or in person, or in scheduling Kimberly for a workshop or sound healing performance, please email info@singingforyoursoul.com or call 310-439-9862. If you'd like to stay in touch, receive exclusive content and a free copy of Kimberly's ebook, 6 Tips to Skyrocket Your Speaking, Singing, and Self-Confidence, you can join the mailing list at singingforyoursoul.com. For up-to-date information about Kimberly's upcoming album releases and performance, please join her music mailing list at singingforyoursoul.com-kimberlys-music. You can also stay in touch on Facebook at facebook.com-singingforyoursoul. And once again, if you would like to contact Kimberly, you can do so by emailing her at info@singingforyoursoul.com or calling 310-439-9862. And now back to your host, Kimberly Harrison.
Thank you, Courtney. So we've been talking about how sound creates entrainment and can be used to influence our brain waves, to help our bodies heal from disease, broken bones, and numerous other health issues, and how sound is really a symbiotic relationship both around and within us. And we've also talked about how singing can produce oxytocin and melatonin and other positive processes in our bodies, and how it can be used to create overall better well-being in our lives. So now we're going to get to that right brain piece. We've been talking about the logical left brain side, which is very important to understand, but also we're going to get into that right brain and actually experience it, because that's when the magic really happens, is when you have those aha moments and you go, oh my gosh. I mean, my life is different because of the sound journeys that I've taken and the awarenesses that I've developed through the years of paying attention to sound and to my voice and to other people's voices. So as a first step, we're just going to tone together. I did an example earlier in the broadcast where I was toning. I sang three notes on an ah vowel. So we're going to do that right now. And Before we do that, I do want to say that different vowels actually have different kinds of effects and purposes. E, you can hear, you just listen for a second. E, E is different than ah, right? So it's doing different things in our bodies. E is actually bringing your vocal cords more tightly together, which causes a more focused kind of sound. And ah lets a little bit more breath escape because the vocal cords don't come as quite as tightly together. So it's a little bit more of a relaxed kind of sound. So it's interesting to note that the seven chakras actually have different vowels that are associated with each of them. And I'll go more into that, I'm sure, another day. But for right now, we're going to use that ah vowel because it's a really calming and connecting vowel. It's one that people tend to sing without a lot of excess tension. And it just feels really good. So that's why we're going to start there. The one thing about ah is you might not be able to sing quite as long, to hold the notes out quite as long, because there is a little bit more breath escaping as you're doing it. But don't worry. What we're doing right now is we're just going to tone three notes together. I want you to just gently inhale. Don't try to tank up on breath. Just keep it gentle and easy. And we're going to sing three ahs together. Please don't worry if you have a difficult time matching the pitch or if it doesn't feel or sound quite right to you as you're trying this. Just go ahead and try it. And if you have any uncomfortable thoughts or judgments, just try to move through them anyway and have it feel as easy and as good as possible as you do this. Okay? So here we go. We're going to do three ahs right now. Good. So we're slowing down here, and I'd just like you to notice what your body feels like in response to what we just did. If you didn't sing along with me in response to me doing it, but hopefully you did sing along or were in a place where you could. So feel into your body. I can feel that my throat is really dry and I need a drink, so I'm going to do that right now. Now that I don't have a stabbing thing in my throat because it's more moist, what I'm feeling in my body is that I feel more settled. I can tell that sometimes there's a frenetic energy that jumps around in my body that gets kind of pinging around, and that is calmer. That has, it's not gone. It would be gone if I did this a long enough time, but it's definitely calmed down just from those three notes that we sang. And I'm feeling more grounded and more at ease in general. And I can tell that my thoughts and my breathing are automatically slower and deeper. In fact, I can tell that my voice has changed. It's not quite so in a hurry as I may have been earlier in this show. It's hard sometimes to separate life from our talking. So we've started breathing more deeply. We've started moving towards the alpha state. And we've really started slowing down. Our bodies are producing melatonin and oxytocin more. That they've got more beneficial hormones and chemicals that are basically helping us to feel good, to feel more present, and to be more able to let go of those egoistic expectations and to really just be with what is. So that is the power of sound and of our own voices. It's just such a beautiful and amazing thing to me to be able to use my own voice to calm myself. And I will do that. I will take myself out of commission if I need to. I will try to find a quiet place if necessary and just hum to myself. Because my body tends to run on high anxiety. It just has a lot to do with who I am as a person and, you know, childhood and whatever, but I do tend to have a high level of activity, activation, and anxiety going on. So I learned to take myself aside and sing to myself. And that, to some of you, may sound like, well, she can do that. She's a voice coach, and she knows how to carry a tune and blah, blah, blah. But really, it doesn't take a lot to sing one note to yourself and to just sing it over and over again. And it will very quickly induce a trance state for you that has all the benefits that we've been discussing. So I would highly encourage that in moments of anxiety or frustration, if you can find a way to take yourself aside and hum, like go sit in your car or go find a private bedroom or something, it's really a wonderful, wonderful tool. Another time that you can use that is if you're a person who is perhaps highly sensitive to sounds and you end up in a really noisy environment like a bar or a club where they're blasting music, or, you know, any of those kinds of situations that you might find yourself in, a really wonderful trick is to just unplug and just quietly hum to yourself. And what you're doing when you do that is you're helping to put your body back in a more balanced state, because those vibrations from your humming are actually moving through your body and helping to create more of an equilibrium and to counterbalance some of that destructive kind of sound that is coming at you. So that's another trick. And often people really can't hear you doing that. If you're in such a noisy environment, you can hum to yourself and you won't be heard. So that's another trick that I have used, not many a time, because I don't often find myself in those situations. But when I do, it's a wonderful thing to have up my sleeve. So we are going to do a 5-minute guided meditation now, and we're going to be doing the exact same thing that we just did with the singing the ahs, but we're going to do it with music, and we're going to spend more time, a full 5 minutes of doing this. And by the way, the music that you'll be hearing is what's called a drone, and there are just a few different notes that are playing within this drone, and they're actually some very cool sound healing properties that are part of the sound, the music background that we'll be singing with. We'll talk about those another time, but it's just kind of cool to let you be aware of that, to kind of plant that seed that in the background, the sounds that you're listening to are really healing as well. So when I have Courtney cue the music, what's going to happen is you're just going to sing some ahs, and you'll hear my voice. I will guide you through it. And just sing. Try to keep it easy. Try not to have any strain or pushing. This is to feel good. Don't try to sing too loud. You know, just feel into it and see how much awareness you can really bring to your sonic environment, so in the room around you and the music that you're listening to. And then also when you start to sing, because for about a minute you're just going to be listening to the music so that you can tune in, but when the ahs come in and you're starting to sing, just feel into the effects that are happening in your body. You don't have to be scientific about it, but just experience in as wonderful a way as possible, okay? So, Courtney, go ahead. Okay, go ahead and settle in. And take a few minutes to breathe deeply, soften your heart and your mind, and really deepen in to these sonic realms. Take about a minute to do this now, and then we'll begin the guided toning. Okay, good. I almost don't want to break the silence after that. Just go ahead and breathe deeply. See if you notice any sort of floating sensations that have come in. And how the nervous system probably quieter. You're breathing slower and deeper. Your thoughts slower. And things hopefully just seem a little easier in this moment. So that is a toning exercise, and it's a wonderful practice to develop. It's something that has really been a great gift in my life, and it's something that you don't have to do a ton of. It's not, I don't want you to think that I sit around for hours a day doing toning. I would love to, but my life is not really occurring in that way that it would be possible for me to do that. But what's wonderful is that for most of us who do have a lot going on in our lives, we can use this as a time out tool that is really beneficial for us. Just 3 to 5 minutes can really, really make a big difference. And so sometimes what I'll do is I'll just say, okay, I need a time out, and I'm going to set a timer for 5 minutes, and I'll sing, I'll tone for 5 minutes. And I'm usually surprised at how quickly it goes. And usually by the time I've toned for 5 minutes, I want to go longer. Sometimes I have the time, sometimes I don't, but it just is a way to reset my entire perspective and my entire physical experience of the day. So I would invite you to continue to weave some more toning into your daily lives. And as you move forward, I really hope that after some of the things that we've discussed today, that you will have some new insights and new experiences in your life that will deepen your relationship with sound and with your own voice, and in a beneficial and really beautiful way. Because sound is really such a gift and such an amazing, multifaceted entity, I want to call it. So So I would invite you to move forward and to, you know, if there's anything that's coming up for you, please let me know. Please email me at info@singingforyoursoul.com or go to Facebook and send me a message, facebook.com/singingforyoursoul. I love dialoguing with people. This is one of my favorite things to talk about is sound and sound healing and the different ways that it improves our lives and our connections with other people. So I invite you to also keep breathing more deeply throughout the day, maybe to hum to yourself here and there. You know, it's a wonderful thing to do while you're washing the dishes. And just, it's just such a gift. So I'm going to take a few deep breaths with you right now. Let's just take 3 deep breaths together. I'll make mine audible so that you can tell I'm breathing, but when you're singing or speaking, I don't generally encourage super loud breathing because it dries out the voice and tires it out more quickly. But let's just take 3 breaths together right now. Okay, so this is Kimberly Harrison at Singing for Your Soul. I wish you a beautiful day, week, month, year. We'll be back on the air next Wednesday, whatever the first Wednesday of October is, which will be here before we know it. And I'm sending a